submit. You gotta submit. Gotta submit.
Welcome to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, where we talk about life because it happens to everyone, along with some great indie musicians' Q&A sessions. So come aboard, kick back, and let's vibe.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. You gotta
submit. Welcome to this week's show, the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast. And this is a special episode. I'm going to do a couple of episodes of this talking about marriages, like what it takes to have a long-lasting marriage. And my first couple starting this series off is Vincent and Arthurine Brown. How you doing, folks?
We're doing good.
Good.
All right. Thank you for taking the challenge. Well, not a challenge. Just like, you know, it's normal for us if you used to be married. Yeah. It's kind of like an honor, you know. It's not like a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you. I guess the part of marriage is like you go through the challenges, you know, to make it work. So you guys just celebrated, what, 19 years recently?
19 years this past Monday.
Ooh, woo.
Yeah.
So the question is this you guys' first marriage or?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, I had to do two of them to make it work. But hey, live and learn and you keep on moving.
Oh, yeah.
So where did it all start? 19 years?
Yeah, well, it started 20 years ago in 2003. And I remember the exact date when we first met. It was November the 22nd of 2003.
That's my birthday. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, happy birthday ahead of time.
Yeah. Next week, I think. Something like 2 weeks. Yeah. Like.
But we were brought together by some friends of ours because we didn't know each other at the time, but we had friends that knew us, and they figured, hey, we know her, we know him, we think they'll make a good couple. And at the time, I had just gotten off of a bad relationship. And I was like, you know what? I can be a bachelor for the rest of my life. I ain't got no problem with that. I don't, you know. And, you know, my friends, they coaxed me into meeting her. And they told me she was from Africa because she's from Liberia. Uh-huh. And I was like, nah. You say Africa? Nah, because I knew too many of them that the standards were too high. And they were like, brother, nah, we know her, we know you. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. I'll give it a try. You know, and they invited us to a dinner party on the 22nd of November. And, you know, the thing that struck me about her was how ladylike she was. She carried herself like a lady. You know, she wasn't no... You know, hey guys, look at what God has blessed me with and everything and stuff like that. Uh-huh. She carried herself like a lady, the way she sat, the way she integrated with everybody. I was like, okay, she's all right, you know. And but that first time we met, we didn't really sit down and talk or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and when she left and went home, I said, okay, well, that's it. I'm going to be a bachelor for life. You know, that was my last chance, you know. And so this friend of mine just kept pushing me, saying, hey, Vincent, this is her number. You can call her. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know her like that. You know, I don't want to be calling her. And she'd be like, look, rascal, let me tell you something. You
know? Well, the friend that introduced him to me, say, oh, this guy, yeah, he's tall. He wear glasses. He's in the church. Blah blah blah. And I said, I was first like, I don't know. She said, but try. You just try to get to know him. And I said, okay, I will try. You know, I will try. And so, went to the party. They get together. You know, partying it. And she said, okay, so. He's going to be coming. But I thought there was somebody else. I think it was Dan. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yeah, it was another tall guy.
It was another guy.
Another tall guy with glasses.
Just like, yeah, got glasses on and tall. So I was like, is that him? And it's yeah, that was him. I was like, oh, okay. I thought it was that guy.
I was a major disappointment.
And so and then after we went home and stuff, we met each other. Well, we didn't talk much. Did we talk much?
No, we didn't.
So we met each other and we left. And then I was like, I don't want to. Nah. But the same friend came back and said, "So how is he?" I said, "Well, he's good, but I don't know about that." She said, "Girl, I mean, go ahead, you try him, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Oh, I don't know." She said, "Try him." I said, "Okay, we'll meet again." So what we met, when we meet
again? We met again in the church.
In the church.
Because she was a hostess, which is basically a female usher.
Yeah.
And she would greet people when they came into the church. And I just said, "Okay, all right, I'm just going to lay it on the line. I'm just going to lay it all on the line, get it all out the way." So I came up to her and I told her, I said, "Do you want to go out with me next Sunday?" You know, and she said, "Okay, yeah." You know, and now see, I'm not that type of person. I'm not the type of person that's bold like that.
Right, right.
I don't, you know, like and this me. Is the only the second person that I've had a relationship with in my entire life. Uh-huh. And I'm like, "Okay," you know, so she said, "Yes." And I'm walking away. I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And then I looked at, I said, "Wait a minute." She said, "Yes." You know,
you were shocked.
She told me that was so funny. I said, "Really?" Yeah. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Wait a minute. Did she say yes?" I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." I was like, "Okay."
And I was like, you know, I was like, "Okay, well, I guess next Sunday we're going out." And yeah. This was around the Christmas season in 2003. Mm-hmm. So that next Sunday would be after the new year had come in. And before that, we had a New Year's Eve service at the church. And my play mother, she came up to me. She said, "Vincent, have you seen Authorine? She's looking good." I was like, "No, I ain't seen her. Where's she at? Where?"
You know? It was on purpose.
and then I see this young lady. You know, she wasn't dressed all special or anything. And she was at the water fountain. And I looked up. It was her. And I said, "Oh, my goodness. That's her." You know, she had her hair done and everything. And she wasn't looking like a church girl. She had on pants. And
yeah.
But she was looking good. And so I was like, "Oh, man, you know what?" And so I went and I picked up my goddaughter, who at the time was, I think she was about 2 years old. And I said, "You know, I'm gonna use her to, you know, just break the ice with her and everything." And so I brought my goddaughter to her and I said, "Hey, say hi to the pretty lady." And my goddaughter was like, "Hi, hey," you know. And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm getting brownie points." So that next Sunday, you know, of course I'm nervous. Because my record with women in the past, if it was a baseball record, my record would have been 0.000.
That bad.
I never had a girlfriend in high school. The first girl I had a relationship with, I was already in my mid-30s. That was the first relationship I had. And that one went south. And I was like, "Okay, well, you know."
Done with it. Huh?
But that next Sunday, you know, I got, you know, we got together and they told me she liked crab legs
and Chinese food.
Yeah, she liked crab legs and Chinese food. And so I knew of a restaurant here in Durham, North Carolina, where we could go. They give you all you can eat crab legs and everything and stuff like that.
Yep.
And the first thing I wanted to do to impress her, she comes to the passenger side of the car and I said, "Oh, no way. Nah, no woman that could be my mate is going to open her own door." You know, so I opened the door for her and I was watching her get into the car and it was so ladylike. I was like, "This is a lady," you know, and that's all I cared about was her personality. You know, she was cute and everything, but it was the personality that I was looking for.
Character.
You
know?
Yeah. The character. Yeah. And, so we went to the Chinese restaurant, had a good time. We started striking up a conversation, and I'm sitting there like, I'm really digging this girl right here, you know. And we went out, you know, went to the mall. We went to two malls, you know, and we were just talking and everything and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, midnight?
It was late? Was it?
No, because you had to go to church that night be a hostess. Yeah.
Okay.
But I dropped her off at the church, and I was like, okay. I'm kind of liking this girl. So we, the next week, you know, now this is how I knew I was in love with her. This might be funny. That next Friday, I come to the church because she works at a, she works at the daycare at the church. And I'm up there and I'm like, you know, I got me some fish and, you know, something from the church's kitchen. Anybody who knows Vincent Edward Brown knows that he does not share food with anybody. I don't. I will give you money before I give you food. So she comes in and we strike up a conversation again and whatever. And she said, can I get a piece of your fish?
Ooh.
And I'm sitting there like, why, sure.
You
know?
You forgot you don't share.
And my brain is like, Vincent, what are you doing? You know? And so she asked for another piece of fish. I was like, sure, you can have all the fish you want. And I knew then, I was like, oh, gosh, I got it bad. You know, I really got it bad.
Now, how far down in the relationship this was? A couple of weeks or what?
This was like a week.
Yeah.
1 week you was gone?
I was gone. And I can remember the date of our first date was January the 4th of 2004. And
That's how much it meant to him.
Yeah. I said, wow, you remember all that?
It's usually the woman that remember all those dates.
I'm probably one of the only men in the world.
You remember every day. I said, wow, honey, you remember everything? You said, yes. You know, we went this date and that date and we engaged this date. I said, really? I didn't remember all that. I said, wow. So, yeah. Thank you, honey.
1 week.
Yeah. And after that, you know, every time I asked her, do you want to go out? And this was every week. Every week. I asked her, do you want to go out? She said, yes, we go out. And when I would take her home, she used to live in a boarding house with some other girls. Mm-hmm. And when I would. After a while, when I would take her home, I'd be like, you know what? That's my wife. I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's my wife. We're going to get married. I don't know how it's going to happen, you know? And I even told her 2 weeks into the relationship that I was attracted to her. And she didn't know what that meant.
Nope.
She didn't know what I meant when I said I was attracted to her.
Hey, I'm an African. I did not know. I'm like, attractive?
So I didn't get a response from that, and I'm still nervous. Like, does this girl like me as much as I like her? Because I wasn't getting the signs. The signs were there, but I wasn't getting them. I was like, you know, I don't want things to get out that, you know, I'm liking this girl, and she's like, nah, I don't like you that much. I want to be a friend and everything and stuff like that. I just wanted to take it slow. I didn't know that she was liking me. She started calling me about, I think, maybe a month or so after we started dating. And she called. She would call and just ask, you know, tell me, you know, have a nice day or whatever. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know, and everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, you know, but I still don't get it. Yeah. I'm still not getting it. You know, it's not getting through. Hey, this girl, she's liking me and everything and stuff like that. And so February of that year, it was around Valentine's Day, matter of fact. Word was getting out. People were like, oh, they're seeing us together and everything. And people were like, oh, we want to see the engagement ring and stuff like that. And I panicked because I was like, this is not what, you know, I didn't want it to get out like this, you know, because I wasn't sure how she felt about me and I didn't want it to get out. And, you know, you all are our thing now. And she's like, no, we ain't no thing. You know, I didn't want it to get like that. And so I panicked a bit. I even broke down and cried. I am not kidding.
You told me that.
And as embarrassing as that is, I do not feel ashamed of telling people that I broke down and cried. And so one day she calls me up and she's like, you know, people are saying things about us and whatever. So, you know, you need to, you know, what's going on here? Yeah, what's going on here?
Yeah, what's going on?
And I said, the thing you do not say to a woman who likes you, oh, I just thought we were friends.
Oops. Yeah.
That you don't say that. And I don't know why I said that, because I was liking her, like, you know, this could be my future mate here, you know. And she said, okay, well, all right, well, that's all you got to say. And she just hung up.
I was mad.
And I was like, oh, my goodness, what did I just do here?
I was upset.
I said, oh,
my. We've been going out, you know, I thought it was like, no, but I didn't tell him that I like him, you know. I did not tell him that I like him.
You guys was just going through the motion. Wasn't really telling each other what.
Yeah, what
exactly. Like. It was like we were waiting on the other person.
First,
yeah,
come up first and say who liked each other. But he did say he attracted to me.
But you didn't know what that means.
Yeah, and so I'm basically in no man's land.
Oh my God.
I couldn't sleep that day because I worked at nighttime at the time, and I couldn't sleep that day. So I called to the church to, you know, get prayer or something like that. And one of my friends, he answered the phone and he said, well, Vincent, Authorine is right here. I was like, no. He's like, nah, man, you know. And so she gets on the phone and she says, you know what? Hey, I just apologize. I was just upset, you know, and everything and stuff like that. And I asked her to go out that Friday.
And I said, yeah.
It was like, yeah. It was like, nothing happened.
You like me, Vincent. Yes. Vincent like me. It's like, you have to tell me. I'm not going to try to figure out what you thinking.
Some of us women are like that. I don't know why. But
no, tell me like that you like me.
Maybe the action was, you know, action. Like, you know, she's going out with you all the time. She never said no to you. So get the hand. If she say no,
we don't get the hint.
Okay, well,
we don't get the hint.
If she say yes, let's go on a date all the time for months.
Months?
Yeah, months. And, you know, he didn't get the date. You know, that, hello, she love you, she like you, nothing like that.
So
we wasn't raised that way.
Yeah.
So I visited this friend that had introduced us, and I told the friend that, you know, hey, you know, we hit a rough patch here, and I don't want this girl to get away from me. I don't want her to get away. This girl, she's everything that I could ever dream of, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, well, Vincent, you don't know this, but she likes you as much as you like her. Once again,
so everybody know except you two.
Yeah.
How much y'all like each other.
Exactly, you know, and I didn't get it. I still didn't get it. You know, this friend was telling me everything that was up with her, but I was like, if I'm not hearing it from her,
right,
I'm not going to trust that, you know.
And you, didn't, so, you didn't even ask her, is that true?
Yeah. You know,
you like me?
Because I was, you know, me, I'm kind of a, you know, kind of somewhat shy person in a way.
Kind of gentleman,
and
huh?
So, I got up one day and I said, you know what? I'm just going to go to JCPenney and I'm going to buy a ring.
Uh-oh.
I said, and once again, I was throwing everything on the line. I was like, I'm just going to go to JCPenney, buy a ring. You know, if she says no, then that's it. You know, I'll just be brokenhearted, but, you know, I'll know what the deal is. So the church we went to had, You ever heard of the basketball player Tracy McGrady?
Yeah.
That's the school that he graduated from.
From the church? The church school?
Yeah, the school associated with that church, that's the school that he graduated from high school.
Okay.
And went straight into the NBA. And so they were having an athletes night one night. And I was gonna propose to her on athletes night. I had the ring with me, you know, and I looked around, I said, nah, it's too many people around here, too many people. You know, I said, nah, I can't do it here. And so the next day, I had to get my car inspected and whatever. And me, her, and a friend, we went to see The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah, good movie.
It was a wonderful movie. It was
And I think that movie was so emotional. I think it took the edge off of me emotionally. Uh-huh. Made it bolder.
He was broken down. All the anxiety was gone.
Exactly. So we went out to eat, and I asked her, I said, do you want to go and play Uno with me at the apartment? Because, you know, she had been over the apartment several times. I was real comfortable with her. We weren't doing any hanky-panky. You know, we weren't doing anything like that.
No touching, no kissing, no nothing.
Yeah, we weren't doing any of that.
This is months.
No holding hands.
This has been months. Months in?
Yeah,
months.
This has been about two months.
About 2 months.
He remembered it.
It's 2 months. And this was March the 6th, 2004.
He knows it.
And so I invited her over to play Uno because we had played Uno before. She beat me. So, you know, she had never played Uno before, but here she is beating me in Uno. So I had two sets of Uno cards. Mm-hmm. And I took the old set. I took out a red number 5 and I took a scrap sheet of paper. I wrote on there, will you marry me? Take it to the card and put it in the deck. And I said, okay, all bets are off. Okay. Bessie, you know what you're doing. Are you sure you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, I got it. I got it. You know, they say step out the box. So I'm stepping out the box. And so we're playing and she picks up the red number 5. And when she turned it over, and the expression that she had on her face, I was like, oh, I got her now. I got it. I got it. I got her.
You know? I was like, oh, I was so surprised. I was like, oh, he proposed. Oh, he proposed. So happy. I was like, wow, he proposed. I was happy. I was happy. I was waiting for that.
You were happy, but did you say yes? I guess.
Yes. I say yes.
She had to catch her breath.
I had to.
She had to catch her breath to say yes.
Yes.
And when she said yes, I had to catch my breath. She was ready to get on with the game
with
again.
The game. I was like,
hold on, sister. I got to catch my breath.
Let's go.
Yeah, you didn't know what to expect, huh, Vince?
I didn't know what to expect. But that day I knew, okay, yeah, we got this. So, I'm calling around everybody. Hey, I'm getting married. Yeah, you know, call my mom up in Washington, D.C. She's like, oh, and how did this happen? Oops. You know, like, I'm like, I'm your oldest son. Shouldn't this be exciting, you know, and everything? And, you know,
she know you was she know you was an introvert and a shy guy. Like,
yeah. So we're preparing, getting married. We're going into counseling. Mm-hmm. And now, in years past, our pastor told us that he was not going to marry anybody who was not engaged at least 1 year.
Ooh, yeah, right.
So, yeah, and I was like, okay, we're gonna set the marriage for March of next year.
Uh-huh.
And I told the pastor that, and the pastor said, "Vincent, you're gonna wait a whole year?"
Okay.
And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, this is what you said. I've heard you say this in the past, you know, like. He said, you going to wait a whole year? And I said, oh, I don't have to wait a year. So I said, okay, well, you know, we'll set it for November of this year. And it was 3 weeks after my 36th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And it was 2 weeks after my mom's anniversary.
Okay.
And so here it is. We started dating in January, and we're going to get married in November.
November.
Mm-hmm.
And most people would tell us, oh, you're moving too fast. You're moving too fast and everything. But I didn't think I was moving too fast because I had already seen the signs that she was exactly what I wanted. You know, I knew there were no surprises. It was not going to be like, oh, yeah, this, you know, like marriage night, you know, hey, take off her shoes and she got bird feet or something, you know what I mean? I knew that I was going to be committed to her, you know, no matter what. If I had any inkling that this could end in a divorce and somewhere down the line, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get married because I didn't want divorce to be an option.
Right.
And found out after we got married, she felt the same way too. She even told me, she said, honey, no divorce. She said, no divorce. Yeah, We're not getting divorced for any reason.
Work it out.
I was like, okay. So, because a lot of people are telling, you know, a lot of people tell you get a prenup, get a prenup and everything. I don't like prenups. I just don't. That's just me. If you get a prenup, that's fine. But I just don't like prenups.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're planning the marriage and whatever. Took her to Washington, D.C. to meet my family. Mm-hmm. You know, they fell in love with her. They're like, you know, hey, that's it. Oh, hey, Audrey. How you doing? You know, you know, and they just absolutely love her. And by her being from Africa, that was an added browning point because, you know, they were all into Africa and stuff like that and everything and stuff. And so we got married, and should we talk about your dad?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Should we talk about your dad? Yeah, okay.
But, you know, my dad didn't want me to marry him because he said, well, he needs to have, like, two jobs. He needs to have two jobs before he can marry me because he wants me to live well.
Uh-huh.
Not like struggle, you know, right. Paycheck to paycheck and stuff. So he really wanted him to have two jobs. And I told him, I said, you know what? I know that's my dad, but look, don't listen to him. We are getting married. And so, and he called my pastor. He called our pastor and said, hey, don't marry them off. And I said, and the pastor told my husband about it, but I didn't know about it. And it's like after we got married and, you know, on the honeymoon that he told me about, I said, what?
Yeah, she
really?
She's getting a little ahead of herself.
Really?
She's getting a little ahead of herself because the day after we got engaged, you know, I called her father and her father wanted me to get a physical, do some blood work and, and stuff like that. And he was like, you know, do you have a girlfriend on the side? Because A lot of African men, they say American black men usually have a girlfriend on the side, you know. And I was like, nah, I ain't got nothing on the side. You know, this is the main course. I ain't got no side dishes, you know. So, and I told him that. And he was like, well, I want to see a copy of your health records and everything.
Oh, my God.
I ain't making this up. I'm telling you, I am not making this up.
You're serious.
And me, I wanted to respect her family, and I said, okay, well, I'll do that. And so she comes calling me. She said, honey, don't do that. She said, don't do that, you know, because, you know, my dad, this, that, and this. And I said, okay, well, I was willing to do it, I, you know, even though, you know, at the time I was scared of needles and getting blood work and stuff like that. I was willing to do it. So we getting everything prepared. I'm getting the tuxedo. She actually bought her dress. She actually bought her own dress. She saved money and she bought her own dress.
Yeah.
And we get to the day of the wedding and I'm just nervous as all get up. I'm like, okay, I'm at home. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm getting married today. I'm dead, you know, everything and stuff like that. And so I get a call from the pastor. And the pastor, you know, he said, Vincent, you ready? I said, yeah, I'm ready. He said, you got your wedding license and everything? I said, yeah, I got that. He said, let me tell you, your fiance's father called the church today and told me not to marry you.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I said, what? I said, we've been trying to call this guy and, you know, try to get his blessing and everything. And the pastor said, wait, hold up, Vincent. He said, you got your marriage license? I said, yeah. She got hers. I said, yeah. He said, well, that's all you need to get married in America. So with the pastor, it was a done deal. It was like, y'all getting married today, you know. And before then, it was another guy in our church. You know, he used to joke about me having to kill a lion. Because in Africa, you got to kill a lion to prove your manhood, you know, and everything. And when he heard that story about her father calling me and telling us not to get married, he said, listen, I told you to kill that lion.
Did you know that over 92% of people in the United States are deficient in one or more vitamins or minerals? Unfortunately, the foods we eat just don't have enough of the vitamins and minerals our bodies need to maximize our immune systems, strengthen our organs, and help our bodies perform at their best. It's also the reason why so many people get sick. In fact, over 80% of patients who got COVID-19 were deficient in vitamin D, and up to 82% critically ill patients are deficient in vitamin C. The fact is, we need supplements. And now, for the first time ever, you can get the highest quality, most complete supplements on the market for prices that anyone can afford. With Live Good, you can afford to be healthy. Check out joinnatenow.com. Check out the 6-minute video. Leave a good name and email, and we'll get with you with more information. Have a great day. So, question now, how's dad taking it now, 19 years later?
We haven't heard from him since.
What?
That was the last time we heard from him.
Oh, your dad was serious, serious.
He was mad at me. Yeah, I think he's mad at me because I didn't listen to him.
Right. So Arthurine, are you the baby girl or something, or what? Where you at?
No, I got an older sister. I got I'm the second, and I got a brother, and I think I got another brother, so I'm the second.
Wow, Dad said that's it. You didn't listen to me.
But he treated me like a daddy little girl.
Okay.
Yeah, he treated me like a daddy little girl. So that's the reason why he's so hard on him. He was so hard on him.
But 19 years, that ain't enough proof that he love you and take care of you.
Yeah.
It don't look like Vincent going nowhere.
No, we're not going anywhere. Nope. Stay going strong.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Yeah, it was just, like I said, I can say
traditions, and customs.
It was God.
Well, only you two can make it work, no matter what nobody says. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as long as you two are on one accord, it don't matter what nobody says.
It don't matter what anybody says. Yeah.
Yeah. So, So 19 years, Dad didn't give you the blessings, and you're still going strong. So some of the challenges you had to overcome. Vincent, both of you guys seem like you're like a teenage couple, right? You know, you don't know what to do, and we're going to make it work. We don't know how it's going to work, but we're just going to stick together and work it out.
Because we've been through a lot.
Both of us have been through a lot.
You mean prior to meeting each other, you're talking about prior to meeting each other, you guys been through a lot?
Yes.
Prior
and together, also been through a lot. So, I mean, you've been together for so many years, and out of the blue, you said, okay, I caught it quick. Nah. Yeah, we in it for good, with God's help.
Yeah.
Yes, we are in it.
We're in it to win it.
Yes, we're in it to win it.
Yeah, a lot, I don't know, society today is just like, hey, it didn't work. I don't like you, so I'm leaving. It's like, nobody's trying to work it out. You know, most people don't try to work it out in today's time. But the thing about it is like, hey, marriage is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yes.
Hi, we're Marla and Dave, and you're listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast.
Please join us on our website, Loving Beyond Reason. That's www.lovingbeyondreason.org. We look forward to seeing you there.
You know, it's
not
like
easy, but you know what? With God's help,
And just like in a marathon, when some of these marathon runners, they got to struggle to cross that line. That's how it is.
That's how marriage is.
You know, not saying that our marriage has been that rough, mm-hmm. Because it really hasn't been. But, I like that analogy about it being a marathon.
Yeah. So that's what you got to plan. You got to plan for that. It's this ain't going to happen next week. We looking like the distance.
Yeah.
And also respect each other.
Right.
You know. In private and in public, respect each other. Because I respect, and I say to myself, I would not disrespect him at home or out. I'm not going to talk to him any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's not going to talk to me any kind of way. Mm-hmm. We both would respect each other inside or outside the house. Yeah, and what you call it, communication?
Communication.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The communication that's to us, that's key.
Yeah.
And I plucked her nerves. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
I have plucked her nerves.
She has plucked mine,
but I'm pretty sure I plucked her nerves way more than she
And I'm
mine.
Like, what did I do to pluck his nerves? And I don't know what did I do to block your nerve, but he says, well, something you block my nerve. I said, I don't know what I do, but
that's normal.
So, but I always try to apologize quickly. I don't care what she's done right or wrong, if it's her fault or not, I'm still going to apologize. You know, that's how, you know, committed we are to each other. And, you know, sometimes you get a fear, you feel a little twinge of fear because you see other couples, they look like they were, you know, they were going good. And then all of a sudden, boom, they call it quits and everything.
Yeah.
And I say, you know what? I don't want to be like that. Anything I can do to keep the marriage together, that's what I'm going to do. And like I said, it's not saying that anything really major has come up that said, okay, yeah, we're going to, you know, this is putting our marriage on the rocks. Cause I'm, to be honest with you, I don't think we've ever been what you call on the rocks.
Yeah. When it's like
misunderstanding.
And, oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's normal.
So I do apologize. If I know I'm wrong, I apologize.
Yeah.
So I do apologize.
Arthurine, are you ever wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The first woman in the world to ever admit she's wrong.
Yeah, they're never wrong, man.
Well, I do apologize. I do, because when I realized that I maybe talked to him the way I think that I, you know, I do apologize to you. I do, because I mean, I don't want, you know, like when he comes, I don't want him to go to work and come back and be feeling stressed coming home. He got stressed at work and then come home, then stressed with his wife again.
Yeah, that's
I don't want that.
The home's supposed to be the peace where you find your serenity and peace.
Yes, because when he go to work, he's stressed out, and then he come home and stressed with his wife. And then he don't want to come home anymore. He wants to go friend's place. So, no, I say I'm not going to do that.
And one of the things I like about her is if I have a rough day at work or she has a rough day at work, we will sit down and let the other vent. Yeah. You know, like if I come in, I had a rough day at work and I start venting, she'll cut off what she's watching on TV and she'll just sit there and let me get it all out, you know.
And sometimes that's all you need.
I've learned. Exactly. And one thing I've told myself is not to bring work home, like take it out on her because I had a rough day at work. Now, what happened on the job is on the job. I'm not bringing that home to take it out on her because she wasn't there. She didn't play a part in whatever happened on the job. So why take it out on her? And she does the same thing. She'll come in and like yesterday, she had a rough day on the job. And she was so into, you know, venting, she forgot to ask me, well, honey, how was your day at work today? You know?
Yeah, I said, oh, I'm just talking all by myself. And honey, how's your day?
And I'm just letting her, I'm and like, then he said, like, get it out.
Yeah, and he's like, and then he said, okay, he said, we'll talk about it later because he knows I had a rough day yesterday. So, you know, me like, okay, you know, we'll talk about it later about him. But I wanted to talk about him now. As I said, hey, honey, how's your day? Because I know it's all about me now. Look, hey, forget about me. How's your day too? Because I know you had a rough day yourself. So, yeah.
Pretty much just taking care of one another.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? Yeah.
That's it. Take care of each other.
Strengthening
each other.
Yeah. And then when you've been together so long, you kind of know when something bothers the other person.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Their attitude or their demeanor change or something. They look like they're deep in thought or something.
Yeah.
So what have you learned for us? Just being married, what have you learned for us just being a couple, and what's the great thing about it?
Well, one thing people used to tell us, they say, when you get married, you and your partner need to be compatible. And people would think that means you all have to have common interests. Mm-hmm. We don't have common interests. No. We really don't.
No. Not
I'm
one.
A big nerd. Yeah. I'm a big nerd. You know, I like to read. I like to watch documentaries. I like snakes and bugs, and you know, watch the weather and stuff like that. And she likes to watch adventure dramas and stuff like that and everything. But compatibility compatibility means that even though the other person is vastly different than you are, that mm-hmm. you're willing to accept their differences.
Right.
Because I'll give you a good example. The relationship I had before her, this girl, she just wanted to change me, just wanted to change everything about me, you know. Yeah. Come in, I don't want you doing this. I don't want you playing games because I like video games. I got a PlayStation 3 and a PlayStation 4, and I love video games.
That's your relaxation, huh?
Yeah. And I also like board games like chess and Othello and things like that. And this previous girl, she was like, I want you to get rid of all that because I want you to be mature. You know, you got to be mature. I don't want you to be a child, you know, and everything and stuff like that.
Constant insults.
Yeah, exactly.
So when he told me about it and I said, you know what, I'm going to let him be him.
Right.
I'm not going to change him. I mean, I'm just going to let him be him. And I know he's going to let me be me and not want to change me, you know. So I said, I'm not going to make it hard for him. I'm just going to let him be him.
And Mr. Noble, I might be the only husband that goes through this, but my wife will actually get on me if I have nothing to do and I haven't played my video games. She'll be like, honey, play your video games. Go ahead, play your video games. Go ahead. You know, I mean, she will actually push me to play my video games. I'm like, oh, okay, all right, you know. But it just shows the compatibility that we have, that we're willing to, you know, accept each other's differences.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're also willing to, you know, switch roles for, you know, just in case one person is not able to do one thing. Yeah. Like, I'm the one that does all the washing. I do the laundry. I do the groceries. I wash the dishes during the week, which I have no problem.
You was doing that on your own anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just normal.
Yeah.
So Arthurine, what do you do? You just come home.
I clean up. I cook.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
I clean up and I cook and. Oh well, he loved to do the dishes. He loved to do the laundry. So I said, okay, I'll let you do it.
Yeah, if you love doing it, go for it, baby.
Yeah,
go for
it. I do the cleaning. So I like to clean. So I do the cleaning. He let me do it.
But the thing about her too, one of my friends told me, said whoever she becomes a wife to, that man's going to be blessed because. She used to clean up for this couple in our church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said, man, she went in there and she cleaned up everything. He said, boy, she gets a husband. That husband going to be blessed, you know? And I thought I would get some pushback on that, you know, like when she would come in and she would just clean, cook. And I'm sitting there like, you know, and I'm sitting there like, okay, well, I don't want to look like you're a slave or something like that. You know, I want to be able to do something too, would just do it out of top of her head. One time it was not long after we had gotten married, about a year or two after we had gotten married, she got real sick. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to get the grocery. When I come back, I'm going to clean the apartment because I wanted her to chill out. I wanted her to relax.
And you can't guess.
And I came back home. She done cleaned up the whole apartment. And I'm sitting there like, I said, Lord, I give up. I'm trying to spoil her. But she's just dedicated to keeping the household like that and whatever. And I know some people might look at that and say, I wouldn't do that for no man. But she just does it. And I don't force her to do it. Sometimes I tell her, honey, let the place get a little dirty. Just let it get a little dirty. I ain't gonna tell her let the dishes sit, you know, because I don't like dirty dishes. Yeah. But I tell her, you know, just chill, just be lazy sometimes, you know. But
I can't try.
Sometimes she just can't stand it. She got to get up. You know, you know what they say about men men and women. They say women notice every dirt molecule.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they say men don't notice until they form clumps large enough to support commercial agriculture. You know?
It don't bother us like that. We just move it out the way a little bit.
Yeah.
See it, but I don't see it.
Yeah. But I would tell people, you have to know who you're going to marry before you get married to them. Mm-hmm. Of course, you don't know how the marriage is going to last. You know, I've had mm-hmm. people tell me, you know, oh, you don't know if your marriage is going to end in a divorce or something like that. And I say, yeah, I don't. But you have to know before you get married the person that you're going to marry. And I would tell anybody, if anybody out there is listening, don't get married because of an attraction, mm-hmm. you know, because there's an old saying that beauty is only skin deep, but ugly is straight to the bone, you know. And when I first saw her, I was like, OK, she's cute. She's cute and everything. Mm-hmm. But I want to know what's inside.
Yeah. What's her heart? What's her soul?
What's
character, her character? You know, what's her vision? And that, everything, you know, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I would, and I see it happen so many times. I got a younger brother who's been divorced 2 times, mm-hmm. you know, because he was all caught up in
the looks
and the superficial. He was about, yeah, I'm the man and all that and everything, which, yeah, you're the man. But that doesn't mean that you're the man and she's a peon or something like that. This is your wife. Right. You know, with God. When God created woman, he took a rib out of his side. He didn't take a bone out of the bottom of his foot, mm-hmm. you know.
Step on.
And I remember one time she was in here. She was on her hands and knees.
It's an African kind of way.
She was on her.
Probably clean in Africa.
She was on her hands and knees, just old rubbing school. The floor. And I'm sitting here watching TV. And I'm looking over there. I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, what are you doing? She said, I'm cleaning the floor. I said, ain't no wife of mine going to be on her hands and knees.
We got a Swisher.
That's what he did.
And I bought her a Swiffer.
The next day,
I bought her a Swiffer because I was like, you ain't my maid, you're my wife. I don't want you on your hands and knees. What the heck is this?
Yeah. Wow. But
I try to tell people, I don't say this to be bragging or anything like that, because I try to be careful about this, because sometimes people will think that, oh, this is just a facade. You know, we see how good you all look together, mm-hmm. and y'all don't argue or anything like that and stuff like that. But that's just how we are. That's just how it is. And even when I'm on the job or something like that, I never say anything negative about her.
Oh, no.
I hear a lot of husbands talk about their wives out in the open. Oh, she ain't doing this, she ain't doing that. I'm like, I don't care what's going on negative with us. I'm not sharing that with people outside the four walls. Me too. I'm not going to do that.
That's what that's what we said. That's what I said. I say, if we have like little argument at home here, it's not going to be outside. It's going to be right in here. It's going to stay right here.
Yeah, that helps.
I'm not going to tell anybody about it. It's going to be he and I.
Hey, so, if you're going to tell anybody, tell God.
Tell God on
his other child.
Yes.
That's right. Yep. You know.
And work it out.
And God work it out after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
he work it out after that.
Yeah. So whatever the problem is.
Sorry, or maybe I'll call you or text you. I'm sorry. Hey, it's over.
Yeah. Whatever it's the done. Issue is, send it up to your father and he'll give you the answer.
That's right.
Because all he's going to do is tell you to love his son, love his daughter.
Yes.
Treat them with love, kindness, and, you know, it's going to work out. So like on the issue of argument, my wife and I, we don't argue to hurt each other. Mm-hmm. We might have disagreements on the issue or whatever the issue is.
Right.
Yeah. Then if we don't come to a conclusion that day, it's like we let it rest and get back to the next day or something. But nobody gets hurt in the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We're not going against the person. We're going against whatever issue it is.
Yes.
So it works fine, because I think we got like 27 years on this one.
Oh, wow. Really?
This is my second marriage. It's both our second marriage. Yeah.
And it's 27 years into your second marriage.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know I look like I'm 27, but no, I'm.
Yes. You look kind of young, though.
That's because I have a peaceful home.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah. It makes a difference. Yeah.
It makes it a lot different.
So yeah, one of these series I'll get my wife on there. She's shy. She acts like she's shy. She's not shy, but she's not a public.
I'm shy too, but I try my best. I'm sweating all over here.
I can't even tell.
Sweating over here.
I can't even tell.
My husband told me about you, and I'm like, oh Lord.
Lord,
help me. You have to help me on this because I was sweating on that. I said, like, Lord,
I'm glad you.
You know what? When you call my husband, yeah. talk to me. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. And I feel much better.
Yeah.
So now I am a calming spirit. Yeah, I'm shy too.
But no, I can't tell. You was talking like we friends forever.
Yeah. See, you can't tell. Yeah.
I bring that out of people.
Well, consider this a blessing because she's not like this around.
This is my ministry, so I don't question nothing. It's like people's like, I can't do it. Then they get on here like, oh, I felt so relaxed and comfortable. It's normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like
it's divine.
Yeah, and I said, oh, he's nice. I said, okay, then.
No, this is me. This is me every day.
Yeah, I then my nervousness was down.
I didn't even know.
Said, okay, so I could just go ahead and, yeah.
Yeah, because people need to hear this stuff. Like, what did it take you? Like, I tried this marriage. It didn't work and all this stuff. How did people stay together? Well, first of all, you got to want to be together.
Yeah,
you know, you got to want to go through life with this person. You know, it's like you want to be, we might not get along on certain issues or whatever, but I don't want to live my life without you.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm going to go through something, I want to go through it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to start over. I don't want to try to figure out somebody else. Like, we got all this time, you know, you got all this history and time and all this ups and downs and stuff. Like, we just need to work it out. We need to make it work for us. Yeah. You know, forget about the Joneses and all them and Sally Sue and them. It's like, how are we going to make this work for us? How are we going to make it like, work. Well, both of us win in this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not competitors. We're not enemies. Like, no, whatever we do, we're going to make it work for us. We win.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both come out victorious because it's like, I mean, that's your mate. That's your partner. It's like, okay, whatever I do is going to affect this person. So I got to look out for the unit. It ain't just me. It's we.
Is we. There you go.
There you go. hey, don't be taking my rhymes now. That's a slogan. Yeah. It's not just me, it's we.
Yeah. And I tell people too, you have to have the right mindset when you get married, because there's no classes you can take to make your marriage better or anything. You just gotta enter it with the mindset that when, you know, the preacher said in sickness or in health, in good times and bad times, you have to take those phrases seriously.
And they
a lot of people, they don't take it serious. They just see it as part of the ceremony. But we took it seriously. You know, we took it. We said, hey, didn't he say in good times and bad times?
Right.
Hey, there might be times our finances might not be the best, but we're still going to stick it out.
We got
to
figure
it
out.
There might be times when, you know, I never had a time where she looked at me like, I want to.
she probably didn't tell you.
But no matter what, we just stick it out, you know. And it does take work for a marriage, but it's worth it.
It is.
Yeah. It's not as hard a work. It's hard work. Don't get me wrong. But it's not as hard and complicated as a lot of people make it out to be, you know. But if you have that right mindset, it makes things all the more easier, you know. And that's what people need to understand. Have the right mindset before you get married, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have $20,000 in the bank, you just have $1,000 in the bank. If you can make that work, hey, just go in there with that right mindset and it'll work every time, you know. And get the selfishness, get rid of the selfishness, you know, what I want versus what you want. We're in this thing together.
Us.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, any advice for the youngsters? Or some of these old people that couldn't get it together?
Yeah, well, for the youngsters, I would tell them this. I do believe in getting married when you're young. I do believe in that.
I did.
But don't get married out of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is one of the biggest mistakes anyone can make. Oh, she's cute. I want to get with her. You know, get to know your mate before you get married, you know, to decide, you know, is this the person I really want to spend the rest of my life with?
Mm-hmm.
Too many young people that I see today, they're just in it to cop a feel, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a, you know, okay, she's cute and everything, and, you know, I can use her up, and then after I'm done with her, I'm going to go on to the next person, you know. And if you're that type of person that likes to socialize a lot and everything and like that party lifestyle, get that out of you before you get married, because I know of people that have gotten married, and then one day they just get up and say, I don't want to be married anymore.
Wow.
That's the wrong way to enter into a marriage. Marriage is a commitment.
Right.
And I would tell that to the young people, stop listening to your best friend or whoever. And definitely, this is what I want to say to the younger couples that just get married.
Mm-hmm.
Do not listen to these people who have been married, but now they're divorced and they're trying to tell you how to live to be married. Don't listen to them. And they're sitting there, they're single and everything, and you see them enjoying their lives and everything, and you say, oh, I want to get back in that life, and then all of a sudden you just want to get divorced. Nah.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people, that all they want to do, they want you to be as miserable as they are.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know a lot of my single friends saying it is not nice out here being single. It looks like it, but at home at night I'm, you know, lonely and depressed or whatever, crying. Right. And you just, the quality, the dating game is so screwed up. It's like, nah, if you married, work it out. Stay in it and work it out because it ain't what it looked like as being single out here in this crazy world now. I hear that a lot from my single friends.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've seen the videos lately that have been going viral about the girls who saying, you know, why are you taking me to Cheesecake Factory and all that and everything? when we first started dating, our first date was at a China buffet.
That'll work for
Chinese
me.
Buffet.
We go
and we followed it up with saucer cones at McDonald's.
Oh.
So 19 years later.
I mean, the thing I see is I'm kind of like old school too. So it's like, it ain't the fact that where you're going. It's like you're spending quality time together. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You're talking, you're conversating, you're doing stuff together. Mm-hmm. It ain't about the price tag and the name brand and all that stuff. No, we are doing stuff together. We communicate. We enjoy each other's company. We just, wherever. If we go and just sit down at a park and watch the ducks quack around the water with them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Putting in that intimacy and, you know, just talking and communicating and opening up to each other. And just that's where it's at. It ain't about, you know, the Cheesecake Factory or the steakhouse and all that stuff. No, you can do that. That could be special moments and stuff for birthdays or, you know, you got a good bonus on your check or whatever. He's like, I'm going to spoil my mate or whatever. But just, I mean, you could be just walking down the street, holding hands, talking. That's where the magic is at.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't see nobody doing that in today's society, I guess. But that's where the magic. And then like me, I want to know the whole person. Like, okay, what your siblings, your family, what was your upbringing? You know, like I'm trying to get to know the person because I need to see if this is a life I want to invest my life in.
That's right.
You know, where's your head on this? Your upbringing, how was you, you know, was you abused or did your parents love you? Or, I need to see, because especially we young and we're going to get married, we're going to have kids. Like, I need to see what I'm going to be dealing with long term.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah, that happened to you, but where's your head at?
Yeah.
How you look at it? Like, what do you see your future? You want to keep that curse going or you want to break that curse and do better? Or what? That's me. Right. I want. Who are you? Who are you? Where you come from and where you think you're going? And can we go there together? Here's my background. What's your background? Here's my future, where I see things and how I seen things was wrong in the past. I don't want to carry that to my future. It's like it's constantly interviewing. On a date is the interviewing process. Yeah.
Then
you go, you know, once you do all the interview process for whatever long it takes, then you, we can make it work or something.
Yeah.
Both of them got to be on the same page, though.
Oh, yeah. And I would tell people, take your, if you're If you're engaged to be married, take your engagement period very seriously. What we did through our engagement, we talked constantly. We were always talking. We even talked about issues of sex and everything during our engagement, getting all this stuff out the way. You know, it's more than just, okay, this date is coming up and, oh, she's going to be mine or he's going to be mine. Yeah. Now you got to, and just like you said, I like that word you use, interview.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the interview. That's the interview time during the engagement.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting everything. You're getting everything on the table.
Yep. What's your character?
Your likes and dislikes.
What makes you mad or what, you know, what makes you happy? Yeah. What, you know, who are you? I need to know this human being because we're getting ready to, like, bridge our life together forever. And it's like.
Yeah, you don't want any surprises.
No. Let me know up front. I mean, you finished with your past relationship? That's it? That's done? I don't have to, you know, get caught up in something. And, you know, you got a boyfriend coming out of jail, and then now we got to fight. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I mean, for real. Yeah.
Put it on the table. Yeah. But, but that's some good. You guys got a unique story because, it's like I said, it's kind of like it was like two teenagers didn't know what to do. And it's like, let's figure this out. Oh, we like each other?
Like, yeah.
Oh, we like each other. Let's get married.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an innocence. You know, you Vincent, you the nerd, the geeky, and Arthur Rain, you just was like, I like you, but you got to know this, and I'm not going to tell you. Figure it out, buddy. Hurry up. Oh, we just friends? Oh.
Yeah.
That's how you see all this little time and talk.
I know you said we are friends.
Yeah, I'm getting all my stuff ready to be. I'm waiting for the moment, and we just friends. Click, click.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you got a unique story.
Yeah.
But, you know, it needed to be told because it's like, okay, from humble beginners, 19 years later, still going strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you put that invite on Facebook that you wanted to do a series with couples about how to maintain a good marriage.
Yeah.
I jumped at the opportunity because I was like, hey, you know, we got a story to tell. And I've been anxious to really get a platform to really just tell the story and just let people know that, you know, first of all, every marriage is not going to be the same.
Nope.
And everyone's experience is different and whatever. And I just wanted to let people know that, you know, the story that I put out there, I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. But a good marriage, you can have a good marriage.
Yes.
You know, you can have
like
a good marriage.
Work it.
You gotta work that thing. And you gotta
work it.
Yeah. So
got 27 years, baby. I think I had seven.
Yeah, you can work it out.
Yeah, I think I had seven my first marriage and 27 on this one.
Wow.
So altogether, like four.
I've been married my whole adult life, pretty much.
Oh wow.
I wouldn't even know what to do as a single man.
I mean, yeah.
I don't even know how to date. Well, I mean, I date my wife, but I mean, I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I wouldn't even know what to, like, I'm used to being married. When I first came out of my first marriage and stuff, and I asked my new wife, I'm like, hey, we're going to start the year off married, you know, after a couple of years of dating. Well, we wouldn't even date. It's a whole different story. One of these days, we're going to tell it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, the first of the year, I want to be married because I don't want to start the year off being, you know, a couple shacked up or whatever, stuff like that. I want to start the year off fresh as married. She said, don't play with me. I'm serious about marriage. I'm like, I just came out of marriage. I don't have a problem being married. I just want to make sure you won't be married with me. Because once I do the connect, that's it.
Yeah,
let's work it out and make it happen, you know, because I'm not the one that be bouncing around like I'm not sure. No, I want to be married to the person that want to be married to me. Let's do it.
That's right.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem being married. I just need the right one that want to be with me, that only just like me.
Yeah.
She over there. So one of these days we'll tell our story and then she'll tell her side because we, you know, we both got different perspectives on how we... How it came together.
Oh, yeah.
It's a unique story, but hey, we're still together.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
And we mm-hmm. like each other. It's important to like your person too.
You have to, oh, yeah. True. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes you, friend. Yeah, sometimes you might not like them, but you got to love them.
You got to love. Yep.
Yeah. Like sometimes I don't like you today, but I love you. Maybe I'll like you tomorrow, but yeah, I'm dealing with something right now. But no, and then laughter is good too. Laughter is good.
Oh yeah, he makes me laugh. Oh yes, my goodness.
That's healthy.
When I have a bad day, she
thinks I'm a comedian.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Laughter is good medicine.
Yo, yeah.
And then, yeah, it's good to be friends. It's good to be friends. Because, like, my wife and I, we was friends before we got serious.
Yeah.
I think we still more friends than anything else in the marriage.
Yep.
Because that's how we started off.
Friends, as a friend, yep.
Yeah.
So, it's sometimes, it's like, if we get in a not a confrontation, but a disagreement where something's bothering the other, it's like, yo, we're like, if we couldn't come to a conclusion, we was like, yo, you know what? I don't want to talk to my wife, or I don't want to talk to my husband. Where's my friend at? Let me talk to my friend.
Oh, no, yeah. That's so not the friend.
No. We talking about each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
We're friends, right? And then we're married.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So it's like, look, I'm mad at my wife. Bring my friend here.
Yeah.
So now you got to drop the, you know, that's like the, that's like, okay.
That's good.
So, you're my friend now. So look, let me tell you what's going on. Because my wife is ticking me off. So this is like a mind shift, you know? It's like, yeah, I'm upset with my wife. So,
but not your friend.
Yeah. Friend, come here. So we switch hats and stuff and it works.
Oh.
Yeah. So like she's going to listen to me as a friend, not a wife. Because the wife got, yeah. And vice versa. I'm going to listen to her as a friend because her husband ain't agreeing with us thing, so I gotta be the friend, like
that's right,
and listen,
yeah,
because she's venting, yeah. That's, so that works for us, you know, the friend, husband, wife thing. So it's like switch up,
yeah,
because your friend is your friend. Your friend is gonna listen to you and comfort you and, you know, take you as you are and all that stuff. But you know, the spouse be like, yo, I got a bone to pick with you.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't want to talk to my spouse. Bring my friend in. My friend is more nicer.
Yeah.
So that's the little stuff we play to, you know, to keep our stuff working.
Yeah.
Yeah, to shift the mindsets.
I don't know if you heard something that the comedian Sinbad said. He said he and his wife, they were married for a time.
Right.
They got divorced for a time, and they got remarried after, you know, they had been divorced for a time. Uh-huh. He said, man, we were so messed up, we couldn't even be compatible with anybody else.
Yeah, so that right there.
Have anybody else.
That means just work it out, because...
Just work it out.
I mean, you know each other's flaws and everything. All this stuff, so I know you know me. Why are we going to waste time with somebody else?
That's true.
You know,
That's true. The
time investment. I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, I got too much time invested in you, too much up blood, sweat, and tears, time and talking and just life. I'm not just going to just pass that on to somebody else. No, I invested my life for you. You're not going nowhere. Now, I might go sleep on the sofa or something, but we're not leaving each other. No, I got too much invested in you.
Yeah,
and vice versa. Exactly. So, no, we're not just going to just brush that off to the next person and enjoy it.
No.
We're going to work this one out. Yeah. We're
going to work it out.
This is my investment.
And I told people, I said, this is my first and my last marriage. This is it.
But that's how it should be. You know, unless a spouse pass, die or something like that or whatever, but that's how it should be. It's like, it's supposed to be forever.
This is it for me.
That was my goal from the first one. But, you know, my first wife didn't have that vision like that. So it's like, I got to find somebody that want to be with me.
Yeah.
So I think I found her.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I mean, 27 years. She don't want to go nowhere. She don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I ain't got nowhere to go either, so we just stick it out.
We both, Yeah.
I like it. I like it. It's like, you know, it's more good than it is bad.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. These have been the best 19 years of my life.
Yeah,
since we've been married, they've been the best 19 years of my life. So you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, you know. Someone might ask me, say, if I gave you all the money in the world, give me your money. I say, no.
Nope.
Ain't worth it. Nope.
Nope, because my wife and I, we can go get our money. We don't need that.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. But look, I want to thank you guys for coming on and sharing your story. And Arthur Ian, I'm proud of you because you made it through. She made it through. We couldn't even tell unless you told us that she was nervous.
I mean, here I can tell. Roger, I can tell. I can feel it.
But yeah, so this is the first episode of the marriage series because we need to hear these stories because, you know, the world will tell you like, hey, the shoe didn't fit, so move on to the next person. No.
No.
And then you guys don't have any kids, so you don't have that what do you call it, that dynamic in it.
Yeah.
That's a whole different dynamic too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
but she's a daycare worker, so I guess that takes.
Yeah,
she can lead him right over there.
Yeah,
and go home to a peaceful house. Yeah. Yes, indeed. But no, you got each other, and that's all that matters. Make it work.
Yeah, that's what matters.
Cool. So I want to thank Vincent and Arthurine Brown for being that couple, that example of, you know, marriage, what it could be like if you work it out.
We appreciate you inviting us on.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, because in a way, you know, our friends in Greensboro, they're on now. We had a precursor to this show last week. Some of what we shared with you today, we shared with them last week.
Yeah.
So it was kind of easy for us to do this today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all was praying for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Vincent, just picture this as a game. You're on the game when you're talking.
Yeah.
We're on the marriage game.
Yeah.
Cool.
Put some time in, you know, so, yeah, but.
Well, now the world going to know the story.
Yeah. And like I said, I appreciate it. You know, share this with anybody you want to.
I'm telling all my friends. Like, look, I found a couple that made it work. 19 years. Check out their nuggets. You might learn something. They dropped some jewels on this one. What made it work for them? Yep. And it's a cute story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. I appreciate it. And I want to thank you guys once again for gracing the stage of the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
All right. Glad to finally get on your show, too. You know,
yeah,
so.
Appreciate it.
You've heard it exclusively on Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
This is Vincent and Arthurine Brown, and you are listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
Gotta submit. You gotta submit, gotta submit.
Thanks for listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. We appreciate every one of you.
Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast.
You gotta submit, you gotta submit.